Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
You know, when you break up with somebody, there are exes that if you run into them, you know, you broke up well, all good. Hey, what's up? Hey, how's your life? And then you go your separate ways. Excuse me. And then you have your next level breakups, where you're like, I hope I never run into that person ever again. Rebecca had run-ins with two next level breakups.
What's the universe trying to tell you?
Right, in 1 month.
I think I'm being set up. I don't know by who, God, but
I think God's got other things going on.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm low on his priority list, probably. So I had not seen these two. I have two dating antichrists, which is like really sad for me, I think. That's like two out of three of the boyfriends I've had. But I had not seen them in years. And I knew that they live in like the greater Atlanta area, but I had not seen them. And then suddenly I go out with the TBS youth group twice in a month.
We're ready to talk to God about why he's trying to set you up.
I need that. And then suddenly I'm early because I guess I'm an early bird, and I see both of them each time I go out, and I just want to know what's going on and what do I need to do. And also, I need you guys to tell me if I did right when I saw them.
All right. So I think to buy in to the entire experience, we need to know a little bit on what defines them as the antichrist.
Dating antichrist.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Because it's usually just the worst breakup is, but you've got two.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the most recent one, just Beelzebub.
Like, what? Huh?
Beelzebub, she called him. The demon.
Beelzebub.
Oh, right.
That was the first demon name I could think of and probably the only one I know. But we had like a fine relationship, but then we broke up and he just was like so upset that we broke up. And he was not leaving me alone. He would like text me for like months trying to like get in contact with like my family, my sisters, be like, what's up? Try to get back into my life, basically. Until he got a girlfriend, and God bless them. I hope they get married and like live the best life ever. My other one, an older boyfriend from high school, like freshman college year. And we just had such a stupid on and off relationship where it was just so back and forth. And I don't even know who broke up with who. We probably just ran in two different directions from each other at the end.
That's what makes it the antichrist one, is when you know it's not good for you, but somehow they have you under their power and you end up back with each other. And then you break up and then go back with each other. They just have you in their grips.
Yes.
Like a spell.
Yeah, it was hypnotic. It was horrible. Anyway, so the most recent time that I saw an ex was at the Atlanta United game when Abby snagged us some tickets.
Yeah, I did.
It was amazing. At first.
Did you know she got them through your ex?
Yeah, this is really when I come clean about the fact that I'm, in fact, God in setting you up.
Oh my God.
All your exes.
You DM'd
him. Start with you and inviting somebody.
So I show up first at the bar where we're all going to meet each other and have a few drinks and go to the game. I'm standing in line. I'm on the phone with a friend. I'm ready to get like turned up and have a good time. There's a couple standing in front of me and I'm talking on the phone, and someone must recognize my voice and turns around, and it's Beelzebub.
Oh, no.
In the flesh. Looking at me.
Adrenaline kicks in, right?
It was so... I literally started dodging like I was a boxer.
Bobbing and weaving?
Yes, I was bobbing and weaving. And they're looking at me like, what the hell is going on? And once I start to kind of see like recognition start of like fall on his face, I'd bolt. Like I literally bolted down that bridge that goes to Mercedes-Benz. I just bolted all the way down to the stadium, basically.
I know, I'm getting out of my Uber. I'm like, where's Rebecca going?
I'm like texting everybody. I'm like, guys, help me. I don't know what to do.
Is that Rebecca? Rebecca on the field? So,
in the fight or flight response, you fled.
But I was like throwing like little weird punches too. So it was like kind of a mix of both, like fight and flight.
Wait, did you actually throw punches?
No, I was kind of just like hiding my face, trying to hide my face. But
yes,
it looked
Christy,
like I was dodging.
She fled.
Yeah, okay.
I fled.
She's trying to make it a tough run.
Yeah. I'm like,
I just turn and run.
I ducked and then I turned.
Then rolled over and then jumped back up and ran. Okay.
But the first interaction I had with my ex was when we were on the Beltline, and Abby was on a date with the man who seemed like he wanted to take Romeo home, and we were waiting for Romeo as well. So I had walked over to get us reservations to a super amazing pizza place that my friends wanted to go to, which I was super hesitant about because I knew months and months ago there was a spotting of my other ex, and I don't know another demon name. And I know you've had Lucifer, Mo, so I won't steal that from you. So,
no, you
Satan
can have it.
You incarnate.
Can have everything about her.
Yeah, okay, I'll take that.
Isn't Damien one of the...
Yeah, sure.
Use Damien. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well,
Damien.
That's from The Omen.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I knew Damien had worked there months and months and months prior, but he was such a job hopper that I was like, it's whatever. And my friends really wanted to go to this pizza place. So I show up and I'm super nervous to put my name in, but I get up to the, like, you know, the front desk and I'm like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I don't see them. So I'm like, okay, I'm all in the clear. Everything's Gucci. I gotta pee. So I walk down to the bathroom. And as soon as I get to the door, the kitchen door is open and he walks right out, Damien.
Oh, no.
And we are face to face. And I knew this guy was going to be like, oh, Rebecca, what's up? Which he did. He said, hey, Rebecca, what's going on? And I just said,
his voice.
Like he's like Rebecca. A sitcom character? How you doing?
I swear. That is like pretty accurate. And I just said, who? Literally, I said.
You said who?
I said who?
Like an owl? You were just like who?
Who? And I darted into the bathroom.
Oh, you choked.
Who let the exes out?
There he is.
There it is. I tried to gaslight him. I wanted him to like think he was crazy and never saw me. Like I was a hallucination.
Yeah, you did not. You did not handle either one of those situations very well.
No, do not take any pride in the way you handled it.
Okay. I have the perfect explanation as to why she ran into them. God knew that last week Bert was going to ask everybody to get a hickey for his birthday.
Ah.
He placed not one,
but two
hickey givers into your life.
You had two opportunities there.
Wow,
you're
and you denied our Lord.
That's what we like to call a blessing. Blessing in disguise.
Running from your blessing.
I'll take this punishment, God.
The Bert Show.
All right, so on Friday last week, he was telling us that, look, he's 31 years old, he's got a couple of roommates, and his girlfriend thinks it's childish. She's sort of embarrassed. You know what? Like, man up, dude. Roommates at 31 was her attitude. And he was telling us he had to make a decision.
Yep, so like you said, my man is 31, and he's getting some flack from his girl because in his mind, they're not getting married or settling down anytime soon. But in her mind, it doesn't matter. They are dating right now. She wants them to have their own space and be able to do things like that couples can normally do. So she's not a fan of the roommates. But for him, it's not even about the money as much as it's about he just really enjoys living with his friends. It's a dynamic that he's not willing to let go. And she feels like it's a bit immature. So he doesn't know what he should do. He wanted to know if being in your 30s is too old to have roommates and if he should stop being a quote unquote man child and stop wanting to live with his friends over actually wanting to have space for his girl.
I don't know. I think I was trying to be really PC on Friday. I think it's a red flag also. If dude can live by himself, he has the finances to do it, and he chooses to live with a bunch of dudes just so they can hang out and party and all that. I think if I'm a woman, That's off-putting.
Yeah, you didn't say that last week.
I think it was a lighter version of that. But yeah, because I thought that maybe it was a financial thing, which changes the game. But this could, he could be out on his own.
That was the part I thought was weird. Yeah. If it's a financial thing, I understand it. But for you to say no, like, no, I could do it. I'd just rather live with my friends than be with my girlfriend. That's a little weird in your 30s, man.
If you're refusing to live with her, like, if there's an option, like, either you can live with your friends or your girlfriend, then yes. Mm-hmm. But if living with your girlfriend isn't on the table, like, maybe she wants to wait till she gets married, whatever the circumstances, or she enjoys being living alone and she doesn't want to live with a man, then that's different. So I feel like as long as that option isn't on the table, if you want to live by yourself or if you want to live with roommates, I don't see the red flag there.
I'd be embarrassed if I'm on a date and I tell somebody that I got roommates at 31 years old and it's not due to finances again, right? I don't got to be there. I'd be embarrassed.
It's the coming over part for me. Like, I don't necessarily have to live together, but I mean, I would think as a man in your 30s, you would at least want some space so that when your girl comes over, y'all could have, like, your own situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I say that. But also, I would never want to go over there.
Yeah.
I would be highly uncomfortable, and I would be like, you're always coming over to my place. That would be the rule.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get the update, because he had to re-sign his lease. He had to make a decision. Like, do I stick with my dudes, or do I listen to my girlfriend?
First, I want to say thank you for all the opinions about my situation. After listening to what you guys said, I decided to do what made me happy and what I thought was best for me at this point in my life. So it made sense for me to sign another year-long lease with my friends. Unfortunately, my girlfriend didn't change her mind at all after I played your segment for her. She didn't care that you all didn't think it was a red flag. She got extremely angry and threatened to break up with me if I don't get out of the lease.
Oh, every person loves an ultimatum. That's always goes over really, really well. Right.
I didn't expect her to react so strongly. I honestly don't understand why she cares so much. I mean, she still has roommates too. I get it. She's younger and it's more common for someone her age to have roommates, but I don't understand why my living situation seems to be a deal breaker for her. Now I'm torn between trying to find a way out of the lease to appease my girlfriend or standing my ground and risking the end of our relationship. I still don't think that having roommates at my age makes me immature, but I also don't want to lose her.
So I did a little self-check while you were reading that email, and if it was a girl with roommates, a woman with roommates at 31 years old that financially could be out by her own but chose to be with her friends, would I have the same feelings about it? And yes. Yeah, I would.
Really?
I would. Yep.
Yeah.
I would too.
The roommate thing, from a red flag standpoint, I don't see it. Now, my personal preference, I wouldn't want to date somebody that's got multiple roommates because I would not ever feel comfortable going over to their place. But because that's our preference, that at that age, we feel like you have to be on your own and living on your own. Yeah, I think that's just like an individual thing.
I think I understand why the girlfriend is so mad after reading this email, because I thought for some reason she lived alone, but she's got roommates. So I think she really just wants to have another place to crash where she doesn't have to deal with other people.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think that's why she's so mad.
Well, most women don't want to go over the dude's place, though, and spend that much time there, because generally we're dirty. Their place is way better than ours. And I don't know that she'd really want to hang out with a whole bunch of other dudes in their 30s either. I don't know.
I don't think she does. And it's not. I'm not mad at the preference. If you in your 30s and you choose to have roommates, cool. But I think at the point you meet somebody, and if y'all are like kind of trying to take each other seriously, and you would still choose to live with your friends over the significant other, that's where I think it's weird.
What's up, Tommy?
You know I have a superpower. I can tell whether people are going to make it. Dude, run now. This woman's going to run your life your whole lifetime.
So you think that having roommates at 31 years old, just because you want to hang out
with Christian,
you
with Christian, it's not a big deal. It's not a red flag. Mm-hmm. Run. Run, Forrest, run.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
There is nothing I love more than being right.
You're on the right show.
Exactly. Except for what I get to talk about on national radio, then that makes it even sweeter. So last week I read a Dumois blind item where it was talking about two A-listers who were getting back together after being broken up for about a year. And it looks like Romeo isn't the only person getting back together with their ex at Coachella. Was it Avril Lavigne and Maude's son? Was it Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn? Well, I'm here to report that my guess of Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes was in fact correct. They were spotted getting cuddly and kissing during somebody's set. I don't know. Nobody was paying attention to whoever was performing because everyone just had their cameras pointed at Camila and Shawn, who were doing a little...
So they were there at Coachella in front of everybody, not hiding it, very proud and loud about the fact that they are rekindling their romance.
Oh, yeah. They hard launched it at Coachella.
Hard launch, okay.
What I found so interesting about the blind item on Friday was, of course, they gave the little hint that they were getting back together, but they mentioned that their teams weren't happy about it. And I thought, what could be better for publicity than two massive stars getting back together mm-hmm. in a very public setting at Coachella?
Well, unless you know, like, their teams know the ins and outs and the real story behind the scenes. It might have been, to them, very toxic. Maybe they weren't in good headspaces. They weren't good for each other, according to the teams. So now they're worried that their quote-unquote products are not going to be in the best headspace because they're back in this dysfunctional relationship, if it really is.
Yeah, it'll be dysfunctional, but maybe they'll write about it. Maybe they'll get some good music out of it. So really, they should be happy about it. They'll probably be hey, profiting on it.
Good for them, but... better for you, Abby. Congratulations.
Right. Yes, thank you. This is really about me. Yes, thank you, Camila and Shawn, for making this Monday morning for me. So also at Coachella, Bad Bunny was performing, and he took a moment to insult my boy Harry Styles. After Bad Bunny performed El Apagón, a tweet appeared on the screens around the stage saying, quote, "Goodnight Benito could do as it was, but Harry could never do El Apagón." And people were kind of...
That tweet, so they have tweets from fans, I guess, on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had taken that tweet and he put it up behind him while he's performing.
Yeah, or somebody on his team. I mean, who knows if Bad Bunny actually approved this, but somebody on Bad Bunny's team wanted to throw some shade at Harry, who, it should be noted, performed at Coachella last year and crushed it.
I don't think I understand the insult.
Me.
Do it again?
Okay, so the tweet says... "Goodnight Benito," which is what I believe his fans call Bad Bunny, "could do as it was."
So he could perform Harry Styles as it was.
Okay.
But Harry could never do El Apagón, which is one of Bad Bunny's songs.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
So that means Bad Bunny has more talent than Harry, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And his team chose to put that one up there knowing it would be a shot.
To throw a little shade. So on Twitter, actually, somebody pointed out that Bad Bunny had actually been to a Harry Styles concert a while back, but Harry's never taken the time to go see Bad Bunny. Okay. So I'm not really sure what that says about their relationship, but what?
I'm just saying, it's the next... fan-created, media-created feel. So the dude hasn't had time to go see Bad Bunny.
Oh, that one, yes. Yeah. But throwing the tweet up there during the performance, there's no denying that.
That's direct shade.
Yes. I'm pretty sure that's not him doing that, though. I'm pretty sure that's his team. Yeah,
but still, his team, like...
Yeah, someone's in trouble.
Mm-hmm, somebody's talking.
I like this, though.
I don't feel like somebody's in trouble. I feel like that's Bad Bunny energy.
Yes, I think he wanted to do that on purpose.
Like, really?
They're both at the complete top of their games, and it's kind of like king versus king. Uh-huh. Like, I'm better than you. And if I'm not, prove it.
Huh. Yeah, I feel like that's just got Bad Bunny dripping all over it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. What if this leads to a Harry Styles Bad Bunny rap battle? Like, I would buy some tickets.
I don't think that would ever happen.
Come on, though. Let's put it out there.
If it's a rap battle, we all know who's going to win.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be Bad Bunny.
Yeah, Bad Bunny.
I was thinking about Romeo. One of our producers was at Coachella this weekend, and really the reason why he was going was he's a huge Bad Bunny fan.
Massive.
And
he wore a wristband from a concert for like weeks after the concert had actually happened.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Like a bracelet.
Yes.
And what I read this morning was like Bad Bunny set was all jacked up because they were having all sorts of mechanical issues on the whole thing. So people couldn't even really hear his set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The entire time?
Yeah, and Drake also. I guess Drake either joined him on stage. But yeah, the mics were going out, the music was going out, and that was supposed to be, I think, the finale.
You can't do that at Coachella. Yeah. Like, besides people just wanting to take pictures of themselves in a desert. I mean, that's top priority. Music is apparently second. Influencing is number one. But how can you throw an event like that and not have your mics and your sound right?
Yeah, you just never know, right?
That ain't it.
Right?
Sounds like karma was getting Bad Bunny back for getting that.
Oh, Harry Styles might have did it.
Yeah.
Harry Styles
people. So Harry's backstage pulling plugs?
Harry himself.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And your next entertainment buzz, what Harry Styles did at Coachella. Prince Harry will attend King Charles's coronation, but how does the world royal family really feel about him coming. I'll tell you what an inside source is saying coming up on Entertainment Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
You should be challenging yourself all the time. So we go through these routines of life and you get in the same circle. It becomes boring, right? So challenge yourself in some way every single day. Mo's got himself a new challenge right now.
I think I do.
Do you have time for a new challenge?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Absolutely not. That's never stopped me before.
That is so true.
Maybe that is his challenge, time management.
Oh.
Yeah, that's when I lose that every single time. But for some reason, since I was younger, I've always had like a, you know how people have sweet tooths? Mm-hmm. I have like a thrill tooth.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing, but I'm making it a thing.
Is
it a thing?
You're an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah.
There are thrill seekers, and then there's a scale, and then there are people who don't like thrill seeking as much. So, mm-hmm. like, you and I would be opposites.
Okay.
That. Yeah.
So, I don't know why it comes out of nowhere. When it comes, it's just like, I just have to do it. Like, it wants to.
You've got no fear.
No, zero. Absolutely none. I swam with sharks when I wanted to do that. I went bungee jumping. What else did I want to do?
Cliff diving, skydiving.
They got these roller coasters in Vegas. That's like the tallest roller coasters in the world. I went and did all three of them.
You joined an all-white morning show.
That was the dangerous one of them all. If I can do that, what's swimming with sharks?
The greatest thrill of your life, baby.
People actually study people like you. There's Dr. Ken Carter here in the city actually did a whole study and wrote a whole book on people who love thrill seeking and fear and those adrenaline junkies. And so this is like very much a thing. And you are so fascinating. Literally, doctors are studying you.
Wow. See, I need to read this because it is like a, I guess I search for the fear because I want to feel what fear feels like, but it just doesn't, I'm just not afraid of it. Just do it. So I was traveling and I'm on a plane and I'm thinking to myself, what's next? Like, I have to do something that seems crazy that I've never done. And then it hit me out of nowhere. I've always been fascinated, like since a kid, by airplanes. They have always been like the most fascinating invention to me. The fact that they just can actually fly as big as they are and take you from here to there safely. So instead of riding one, which seems to scare some people, I thought, I want to fly one.
Oh, God.
Really, Tommy?
So you're joining Top Gun?
Yes, sir.
First order of business, we need to come up with a handle name for Mo.
Oh, yeah.
You got Maverick. You got Goose.
Rooster was in the last one.
I don't know. Y'all got to help me with this.
Moose?
Moose? You got to spell it M-O-E, though, right?
Moose.
So.
Sorry.
It's okay. I was thinking to myself, I want to fly a plane. And then I looked at my friend, and I thought he was going to be like, this is crazy, don't do this. But he was like, you know, if you're serious, I have a nephew that's a pilot. So I'm like, for real? I'm dead serious. Like, yeah, I really want to do this. So he's like, okay, cool. I'll talk to my nephew. And it turned out his nephew is actually a fan of my podcast. So when I told him I wanted to interview him, because I've always wanted to interview a pilot, I just think they're fascinating people. He was like, I'd be more than happy to do it. So then we started kind of talking, and he was like, you really do want to fly a plane? I was like, man, anytime I say I'm going to do something, I do it. Like, because he's like, people always ask me, and then they go into the training, and then they drop out. He's like, basically, he's telling me he's not going to waste his time with me. And I was like, I promise you, if I'll do whatever it takes. So he told me, which I thought this was going to be like years and years and years of training. But he was like, no, that's if you want to become an official pilot. But if you actually just want to learn the basics enough to where you can go up there with me and we can fly around, I can do that in a couple months. So I was like, you serious? He was like, I would love to do this for you. He was like, I've always wanted to like do this with somebody, but everybody in my family is scared. So he was like, it'd be my honor to do this with you if you were serious. And I was like, man, I've never been more serious about anything in my life. I would love to fly a plane.
So this gets you the license to always have somebody in there with you, but not flying by yourself.
Exactly that.
Okay.
So as long as you got the professional, which is him, and he said he'll walk me through the entire process. He already told me like what it's going to take, how much time I would need. So because of my schedule, it would take a while for me to get all of the training done.
Because you got to accrue quite a few of flight hours, right?
Right, exactly that. So he told me about all of the simulations, and he kind of walked me through his journey of when he first started. And so he made me realize how possible it is. And he's like, yeah, man, you'll learn all the controls. You'll know exactly what you're doing. Like, obviously, I'll be there with you, guiding you through it all. But technically, yes, you'll be able to say that you flew an airplane.
I think this would be so great for you because this is really truly a hobby that wouldn't have anything to do with entertaining anybody, man. This is just all about you right here and breaking away. And you've got so many moving parts going on in your life. You got a podcast going on. You got your stand-up going on. You got the Bert Show going on. You got the afternoon show going on. Man, you need something just to get your mind off all that. This would be great.
That's what I was thinking. Like, this will be perfect for me. So I don't know when I'm going to start exactly, but I'm trying to start soon, like this summer. I'm thinking like by the end of this year, I told them I want to be ready to really like get into an aircraft and fly it.
Good for you.
The only thing left is who's coming.
Nope.
Somebody got to come first.
Absolutely not. I love you dearly. I am not getting in a plane with you.
But I'm moose.
You don't have the helmet yet. Yes, Tommy.
I have an idea. For Mo's first lesson from his friend, his friend takes him up. He takes off. Mo's up in the air. Mo has to land the plane. His first lesson by himself. The guy can talk him through it. I don't even think that's up to me.
Yeah.
But he can land the plane.
It's probably illegal.
A radio blitz.
Well, it can be. I'm thinking bigger.
I don't think you're allowed to.
And you're also thinking deader. You know,
Moose, who do you want to sponsor your funeral? We'll go ahead and line him up.
So here's the bit. Mo died.
It's been done. I had a friend that did it. I did it on my previous show, and he came in a little wonky. He was going side to side, but he's still alive.
You're not telling it.
No.
Came in a little
radio's
wonky.
Not the same that it used to be.
Yeah, right.
No, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate your input, Tommy. Think we're all right.
Thanks, but no thanks. Really appreciate you.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bert Show.
The Shade Room is at it again, and it caught your attention with one list here that white folks might not really understand.
I thought this was hilarious, and I wanted to see if you guys could relate to some of these things, because, yes, the Shade Room came up with a list of all the things that black people take very seriously, and I didn't know what the list was going to be about, but basically it's about small things that we do as black people, and it seems like you just do it unconsciously, like you don't think about it. But every single one, I went down the list and I called Katie and I said, do you agree with these, yes or no? And she said yes to all of them, and I did too. So I was like, this is fascinating, and I wanted to bring them here and see if this is something that you guys do or even have ever thought about.
All right, so Katie's in studio here also.
All right, first thing black people take very seriously. Letting all the cold air leave the house if the AC is on.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a big deal. Like, you're not going to heat or you're not going to cool the entire neighborhood.
Okay.
So you would get yelled at, and the kids were going in and out during the summer and constantly open and closing the door.
Yes.
You would finally get screamed at. And if, like, if you go out that door one more time, I'm going to whoop your you-know-what.
That's exactly how it goes down.
I still get yelled at. I'll open a window just to let some fresh air in, and Chad's like, we're not paying to cool the outside. Shut the window.
Okay. Y'all relate on that one.
Yep.
Before you go anywhere, all black people ask one very important question. Who all going to be there?
We need to know.
Yep.
Who all going to be there?
Yeah, I'm like that, but I don't know that most are.
I'm like that.
Are you?
I want to know who's going to be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly because you got to know, like, does anybody have beef with each other? Like, if there's somebody who's annoying, you don't want to show up. Like, maybe I got plans. I don't know. I'm 100%. Just coming.
I'm just happy to be invited. So I'll be there.
This one is something I thought it was only me who did, so I laughed when I heard this, but cutting the music down when it's time to parallel park.
Yeah. Or just looking for directions in general. Yeah.
If I'm in, like, when I pull into a parking garage, music goes down because I got to focus on finding an open spot. If you have your GPS on and you're getting close, music's got to turn down so you can find the number for the house or wherever you're going.
Yeah, concentrate.
Yeah, for sure. It's the same.
When you knew you were low on gas, did you always turn off everything in the car?
Yes.
Like the radio, the air
conditioning.
Yes. Definitely. Yep.
I don't think the radio has anything to do with your gas, but I do think the air conditioning does.
I still turn everything off.
They say it's a myth.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Okay. They say it's not true, but I still believe it does too. Speaking of parking spot, this is another one I thought only I did. Thanking God every time you find a parking spot.
No, I don't do that.
I do that every single time.
Like literally saying, hey, thank you, Jesus?
Yes, thank you, Lord, for this spot. Because I feel like if I don't thank him, you're not going to get the next one.
Exactly. You say that, or God is good. God is good.
God is good. Look at God. Look at God. Every time. All right, this one is serious, too, and I feel like a lot of my friends don't pay attention to this, but people talking over your food.
What?
Like, do you ever try to cover your food? Because sometimes people will talk and they're very close to your food and they don't think anything of it. Huh. So they'll just keep talking, but it feels like they're spitting in your food. So sometimes I'll try to, like, move my food away so it's not, like, impolite. But that's something Black people do for sure.
Yeah, that's a new one for me. I never would have thought about that.
And you're raised not to talk over people's food.
Yeah, like, that's a big thing.
Is that right?
Yes, no. You don't talk over people's food.
Okay.
That makes sense, though.
100%. Mm-hmm. I think I wish... that was taught more in white community because I know that I've had the feeling like, hey, you're getting a little too close to my food, but never done anything about it.
Okay. This is one that Bert experienced in real time. Claiming our mom as friends, as uncles and aunts, and their kids as cousins.
Yes.
you've seen that.
I went to one of Mo's parties, and literally 20 people came up to me, and they're like, oh, Bert, oh, we've been hearing about you. I'm Mo's nephew or cousin or aunt or uncle. And I started to catch on at about number 17. Like, dude's like new to town. How can all of his relatives be here? And the one I called out, who said that? What? She's like, yeah, I'm Mo's cousin. I'm like, no, you're not.
That was my cousin Allison, and she's really my actual cousin. He's like, yeah, no, you're not. And she's like, why doesn't he believe that? I'm like, it's a long story, Allison. Don't worry about it. Keeping the obituary after the funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody does that?
I have one in my car, actually.
Do we have to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My grandmother had like a scrapbook. I still have it of every funeral and every obituary is just in it with the picture of them in the casket right next to it.
Yeah. Okay. Don't have the picture of them in the casket.
Oh, okay.
Never was a fan of people taking picture of the bodies at the funeral.
Yeah, please don't do that.
But the obituary and the program, like whatever you were handed when you were at the funeral, keep all of those.
Like it goes in its own little scrapbook?
In a Bible, in different like verses. You choose where you want it to go in the Bible. So. Yeah.
Mine's in my center console right now, just hanging out. Thanks, Meemaw.
I feel like you judged Abby a little bit when she said it was in her car. I saw your face.
Yeah, why is it still in the car?
I think because I grabbed it on my way home from the funeral and I was like, I don't know what to do with this. It feels wrong to throw it away.
It does.
She's watching over her in the car. Yeah. Okay. She's her guardian angel in the car.
That's sweeter.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. When you have a birthday cake, it is a Black rule that you cannot eat the piece that has the person's name on it. Or the person's face on it.
Really?
Can't
don't
do that.
You touch that piece.
Gotta go around it. Or it's disrespectful.
Is that right?
Yep.
That was always the piece we wanted, like the one that had your name written on it, so you would cut it for the birthday person.
Wow. Oh. See, if we was all at the same birthday party, that could go really wrong.
So what do you do if that piece just gets thrown away?
I never really knew. I think you can eat it if it's your name or your face, but no one else can eat it.
You can take that piece home if it's you, right?
Right.
Yeah, and it's always last to be touched, though.
Yes,
it's
it not has to be first. The last piece.
It's the last piece.
Abby has hers in her glove box.
Saving it for a snack later.
The Bert Show.
Men and women can't just be friends. Isn't that like an outdated concept?
I first remember this from When Harry Met Sally. That was like when it got ingrained in my head that there will always be an attraction on one person's part.
Well, I mean, yeah, when it's Billy Crystal, how do you deny the attraction? It's not even possible.
It is kind of funny when you think about it.
At least now people are saying that, yes, they can be friends. But now there are certain, like, what's a word I'm looking for?
Parameters?
Parameters almost, right?
I saw this reel. It is short. It is sweet, but I felt it could be highly debatable, okay? And there was nothing, like, it's just a woman sitting there, close up on her face, with some music playing in the background, a younger woman at that, and it said this: boys are only friends with girls they find attractive, and girls are only friends with boys they find unattractive.
Well, this is loaded.
Discuss.
Yeah, okay. This one is loaded right here.
I know, right? So, and I read it multiple times, and I was like trying to like mull it on. I'm like, is there a grain of truth to this?
Well, it's a loaded question because
it's not a question. It's a statement.
So, if Abby agrees with it, then your guy friends are going to be offended.
That I find them ugly, apparently.
Yes.
I think the difference between men and women is that I don't typically take appearance into account when I want to, like, hang out with somebody. But I think there's a grain of truth because I think it does sting a little bit if you're friends with an attractive guy and they don't want to be with you. And then it's kind of like, well, I'm not really sure I want to be friends with you. And in my experience, like, if I'm friends with a guy and I can tell that he wants to, like, get with me, it makes me more uncomfortable, so I don't want to really be friends with him, if that makes sense. So it's sort of like a double-edged sword where it's like, they might not want to be my friend if I was ugly, but I don't really want to be their friend if they find me attractive and they want to get with me. You know what I'm saying?
Now, Mo and Burry, it puts you in the hot seat now, because if you agree with this statement, that means any friends you have that are women, you're saying you think they're ugly.
Okay, well, again, can someone be attractive, but you just not be attracted to them?
Yes.
Yes.
See, so then that's how I feel. That's
then
why.
Then you disagree with this.
I do disagree. I don't think this, in my experience, is this not accurate. Like, I have a lot of girlfriends that I'm not attracted to them, and they've been my friends forever, but I don't think they're ugly, but I'm just not attracted to them.
Yeah, I'm with Mo.
Okay.
I'm with Mo on that. Yeah, Cass.
The problem with this is it's rooted in the fact that you're still attracted to each other in some way. Like, women have to be friends with ugly men so that they're not attracted to them, because they couldn't possibly be friends with someone attractive because you want to sleep with them. And then men are only attracted, like, only friends with attractive women because they secretly want to sleep with them. And I find it insulting. I think it's insulting to men, and I think it's insulting to women. You can be platonically friends no matter what you look like. Mo just said he has a ton of great friends who are girls. I have friends who are guys. I don't want to sleep with them, but some of them are very attractive and some of them are not. I hate that it's always boiled down to there being some kind of like romantic or sexual thing. And when you do that, I feel like it makes it like, it demeans you and looks at the other party, whether it's men or women, as just sexual objects rather than like really well-rounded, interesting people that you want to know because they enrich your life.
Now, I wonder if age plays a part in this also. Mo, would you have said the same thing when you were 22 or 23?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Because that's about the age the woman was who did this TikTok or reel.
I mean, I do believe that typically in the beginning of that kind of friendship, somebody is attracted to somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, usually one of them would go further if given the opportunity. But I also believe with time, sometime when these friendships develop, that kind of fades away, and both parties are comfortable just being in that friendship.
Mm-hmm. I feel like my dad put such a, that I grew up with such a dysfunctional definition of women and friendships that I think when I was younger, that probably was true for me. That statement is probably true for me because, I was taught that, women are just there for sex, really, is what my dad taught me over and over and over again. So I think if I had a girl that was a friend, there was somewhere inside of me that was always feeling like, okay, but if the door opens a little bit, I'll be right there.
Yeah, I definitely have found that so true in a lot of my big friend groups. Like I had a really close group of friends back in Jacksonville about a year or two ago, and we never understood why our friend group broke up, because we did everything together. We would go to Jags games. We had Friendsgiving together. And then all of a sudden we had this New Year's Eve party. And after New Year's Eve, nothing was ever the same. And it took us a while to figure out what was going on. We were like, why did we never talk again after that? And it was a boy-girl friend group. And then we remembered two of our guy friends were trying to get with me and my friend that night on New Year's Eve. They like wanted to like obviously have a New Year's kiss. And we were like, yeah, no, we're just friends. And we never talked to them after that. And someone actually confirmed this for us like 6 months ago, where they were like, yeah, like XYZ and ABC were really bummed that you guys like turned them down. And it was never the same after that.
Is that right? Yeah. So there is some debate there.
Yeah.
There could be some debate. Mm-hmm. At first I read it, I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. Maybe there is some wiggle room there. Unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately.
The Bert Show.
All right, so the email here, now we're going to have to be really careful with this one because we know we got kids listening this early, but her husband, she just found out, has been messing around with a woman that gets paid for intimacy. Can I say it that way?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Maybe that goes over kids' heads right there?
I think so.
I can't wait to see how you dance around this in the email mode.
It rhymes with thanks. Looker.
I think adults get it.
Okay.
All right, Mo's got the email.
Hi. Boy, do I have a doozy here for you all. Backstory. My husband and I have two daughters in upper elementary school. Just celebrated 14 years of marriage. We are in our upper 30s. I was able to leave my job and stay home 6 years ago. I love this man with all my heart, and we have been together since we were 17. This is the best man I knew. Man, life is good. Until it's not. It's not uncommon for my husband to work late from time to time. I had zero signs, but they say a woman's intuition is always right. I had never looked through his phone before. Ever. Something told me I needed to. So I did. The text was front and center, labeled with her name right in front of me. I found out my husband has been cheating on me from November 2022 till the present, as of April 4th. With a
looker.
Right. With a real looker.
Mm-hmm.
Real looker.
Real hottie. Real looker.
he spent $800 to be with her. Spent dinners on her. Paid for hotels. He celebrated Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, and anniversaries while he was with her. He came home afterwards and wanted to be intimate with me.
Ew.
I saw everything in those texts. It gave me all the proof. I confronted him. And he admitted everything. I got myself tested, waiting on results. My mind knows what to do. Leave the trash at the curb. But I love this man with everything I have. And to put my daughters through losing their parents being together breaks my heart even more. I'm not a dumb person. I know it's not good for anyone to stay with someone just because of the kids. I know what I would be telling another woman to do if this happened to her. But I'm struggling taking my own advice. I would love to hear your opinion.
1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Kids do change everything, man. They really do change everything. You do everything you can to keep that family together. I think we've talked about this on the show before. I think as much as I would try to keep that family together, this kind of betrayal, especially when you're looking back at the holidays he spent money and with her in this quote-unquote business transaction, I just think my heart would shut down. And I don't think that would be good for the kids once they see that dad has a change, mom has a change. Is that really a home that they want to grow up in? But I guess you really have to ask yourself, are you that forgiving a person? In my mind, I would think I would like to be, but in my heart, I don't think, I think the feelings would be gone.
I would need to know the why. Like, and this is not your typical infidelity because he paid for it. So what was missing? Why did you feel the need to step out on our marriage? But not only that, but find a woman to pay to be
your mistress and side piece.
I'm curious, Cassie, Kristen, and Abby. Is it more or less offensive that this was quote unquote business? More.
More.
Really?
Yeah, it's more offensive.
More.
I would be so much more offended if someone literally paid to do the thing.
I am really surprised by that.
Because that's not only are you, because it involves so many more aspects now. It's not even just about the time. It's like that is money that could have been spent on us and our children. Mm. So not only are you stepping out and cheating on me, but you're spending our family money to do it. It's like it's a double insult.
I am really surprised by your answer. I was for sure thinking you guys were going to go, well, it wasn't emotional because that would
That doesn't mean it's not. He can still be in love with a looker. I'm in love with the looker.
I feel differently, actually. I would prefer that. I mean, I would be mad that the money was being spent, but to me, it would be, I would just feel like maybe I'm not giving it to you at home enough, and I would probably take some of the heat for that. I would feel like I failed you, which isn't fair, and it doesn't make it right or excuse it. But if you were hooking up with a coworker or somebody you were involved with, I'd feel differently that way. Like, so this is a business transaction. You know what I mean? Like, you wanted X, so you paid for X, and you got it. I'm still mad about it, don't get me wrong, but I would prefer that.
For you, Mo? Which would be more offensive?
For some reason, I feel like this would be.
This would be the pain.
The emotional part of it would at least make me feel like you, maybe you just couldn't help yourself. That's probably what I would tell myself, even if it's not true. But in this case, it's like, oh, you really just don't care, like at all.
Hey, Anna, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to say that love isn't always enough. It's not. Loyalty, trust, betrayal, all those things are very important. And I'm a single mom myself, and I would say when there's such a rift and a huge need of healing, there's all these little micro behaviors and aggressions and hurt that can come out, and children are smart.
Mm-hmm.
They will pick up on all those things. So to say, quote, do it for the children, I'm not always about that. I know so many children that are like adults that say, I wish my parents had just gotten divorced way long before they did because they saw all that.
I 100% agree with you, man. And I am a parent that got divorced also, and you in your heart want to make it better for everybody and stay. But I too also know too many couples that took pride in staying, but the relationship was so bad and the kids could see that. So they are learning what their future marriage and future relationships are going to be like based on what they see the parents and how they see the parents acting. I think it's backwards.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
So last week, we got the news that Prince Harry is, in fact, going to be attending the coronation of his dad, King Charles. But we did find out the surprising news that Meghan Markle is not showing up. She is not going to be in attendance. So after this news, we're left with two questions. Why is Meghan not coming? And are they really happy that Prince Harry is showing up at all? Do we think they want him to be in America during this whole coronation thing? One of the biggest days in history.
I don't know why I'm so invested in this, but I always have been. So I think, yes, they are glad, excuse me, that Harry is going to be there. That was my, and as far as Meghan not being there, I'm like, is that a Harry and Meghan call that they are bowing out or trying to bow out gracefully? Or is that a royal family call? Like, we want the focus to be where the focus needs to be, and that's on the coronation of King Charles and not like the rift between Meghan, Harry, and the royal family.
Yeah, who knows who made the decision here? Assuming both of them were thinking the way you just said. It's just like, look, if she's here, nobody is going to be focused on what we're really here for. It's all going to be on Meghan.
Which is the old man.
Everybody would be looking at her her body language. All the cameras would be on her. And yeah, it would be a mess.
So we have some insider tips that spoke to Entertainment Tonight. And they said that the family does plan to be cordial, obviously, because this is a huge event. And the king wants his son at the coronation. He is obviously very happy that Prince Harry is showing up. But another source said something kind of surprising that gives us a little bit of insight as to why Meghan might not be there.
They're making it sound like it was her decision to stay behind. And obviously this could be for a few reasons. Like you said, everybody would be dissecting, you know, the lip readings and all the eyes would be on her. But it also happens to be their firstborn Archie's birthday, the same day of the coronation. So it could also just be her saying, you know what, like, I really hate going over to the UK. It's a really uncomfortable experience for me. It's an uncomfortable experience for everybody. Why don't I just stay home and celebrate my son?
All right, now let's put ourselves in Meghan's shoes. Mm-hmm. So it's Archie's birthday, and Archie was a point of contention amongst the royal family. If you watched any of the Oprah interviews and if you read his memoir, and some not very nice things were said from some members of the royal family in regards to Archie and the fact that they won't give them royal titles, which I think they have changed now, and they have since given them the royal titles, but also when it came to security and protecting the family. So it is your son's birthday.
And he's also, how old?
How old is Archie?
He'll be four.
Four, yeah, okay.
So you have your son's birthday and the coronation. Harry chooses to go. If you're Meghan, are you upset about that?
Oh.
Like your husband is choosing his family over his son's birthday.
If his father wasn't the literal King of England, I would say yes. But I mean, to be fair, this is your son turning four, your father getting crowned as the monarch of the country that he was born to rule.
But there's a lot of, like...
Yeah, Archie can't read a calendar yet. He doesn't know when his birthday is. He can do that. He's still at the age where he can move that thing 2 weeks.
It will be hard to be mad at him. I feel like I would understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get it.
Yeah, so basically what we can take from all this information is that King Charles thrilled that Harry's coming, and it looks like it was Meghan's decision to stay behind. One thing that did come as a shock for me was finding out that two American artists are actually going to headline the coronation. So apparently King Charles asked a couple UK artists, Adele, Ed Sheeran, Harry Styles, and Elton John, to come headline the coronation. And I guess they're just all busy. Maybe they don't want to be a part of the drama, because instead, Katy Perry and Lionel Richie are going to be the headliners for the event.
Maybe they're just doing American Idol there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just moving the show live.
That's how they find the next King of England. They're like, actually, Charles, we're pushing you aside. We've got a whole 10-week competition to find out.
This is a really big deal, right, Cassie? I mean, because this...
It's a huge deal.
In the past, this would have been a huge honor to be invited and asked to play during this. And the fact that so many Brits have said, yeah, you know, busy, 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 really speaks volumes, I think.
It's a really big deal. I mean, it's not like coronations happen, you know, every couple of years. I mean, Queen Elizabeth reigned for the longest time. We're lucky to see a coronation in this lifetime. And to be invited to be a part of that history is huge. And the fact that there are no major British artists headlining it, it's two American artists, is kind of embarrassing, honestly.
Aren't the Spice Girls getting back together for it, though?
I don't know. Well, they
I thought
should
they
be.
Were.
That would be a headliner to me.
Yeah. Sounds like a punchline.
Not according to this report. Apparently, there's only one UK act. It's a group called Take That. But even, but here's the thing. There's like one major artist who came out of that group. His name's Robbie Williams, he's not even gonna be a part of it.
Robbie Williams. See, and that's the thing in the UK. Robbie Williams is huge. Yeah. He was like Justin Timberlake levels. So the fact that he's not, and Spice Girls like Googled it, turned it down.
They were. Rumored it was going to be there for a minute, and then they're
not even together, and they said no.
It'd be just fine. An American that can do an English accent.
Is Leonardo DiCaprio finally dating someone over the age of 25? Word on the street is he's with another famous A-lister's ex. I'll tell you more about that on your next Eva's on the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
So what happened over the weekend? We did a texting tutor on Friday, and she wanted some money from her friend because she got a speeding ticket while trying to help the friend out, and she wanted some money from the friend. Friend's like, nah, that's not going to happen. So what happened over the weekend? We'll get an update in just 1 second. I know a couple of you guys for the last couple of weeks or last couple of months have almost been laughing when the suggestion that TikTok is going to be going away in the United States. You guys, come on. TikTok's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it might be. Montana was the first state to say, no TikTok in our state. They just passed banning TikTok, which vows to continue the fight for First Amendment rights. That's what TikTok says. But Montana would become the first state here in the U.S. to fully ban TikTok starting next year.
The state legislature passed a bill on Friday that bans TikTok. They're a little bit nervous about the Chinese-owned company and information of people in their state being spread. So they are trying to ban it in the state.
Okay, I don't think anybody really cares what people in Montana are doing, but that's okay.
I do. Yellowstone?
Okay, yeah.
I'm very infested.
That's a TV show. But from a logistical standpoint, how does one execute a ban of an app, of TikTok? Like, are you going to be checking everybody's phones? Like, how do you even do that?
Geo-targeted. So if the app goes to specific zip codes in Montana, they just shut it off.
Can you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if they're using like a, it gets complicated because even here where we are, sometimes our computers, when they're connected to Wi-Fi, might show up as we're in New York or Ohio.
Yeah.
So it might be, the easiest way would be to ask people their location. And so you would just block anyone who says their address is Montana, which would then give them a workaround, but you can do geofences as well. It would be very difficult, but it's definitely doable because they have different restrictions in different countries. So they can definitely do different things in China or Singapore or the U.S. So it's doable.
So if this passes, TikTok would face up to $10,000 per day per violation if they continue to operate in Montana. And the state could also impose a whole bunch of penalties on Apple and Google if they allow the apps to Montana users. So they're going for it.
Mm. Wow. No TikTok stars are coming out of Montana. This is a real loss
those are
for
gone.
Us.
Those are gone. Yes,
crazy question. Why can't somebody in America make an American version of TikTok?
Well, I mean, Instagram is doing that with us with Reels, essentially. Like, it's trying to make it.
Because other countries steal stuff from us. I remember Russia had, instead of Everybody Loves Raymond, something like Everybody Loves Ivan. And it was totally unlicensed.
Well, that's part of the conversation, was forcing TikTok to sell to an American company. But after they finish their what's called Project Texas, all of the data is going to be stored for the U.S. on U.S. soil. So it doesn't, you know, and I was watching the news, and I use that term loosely, and what was being reported about TikTok and how its algorithm works was absolutely incorrect. It was so far off the mark, and that's the problem, is I feel that decisions are being made based off gut emotions and not actual physical evidence, which we've seen none, and not on facts.
The hearings were embarrassing.
They 100%
were embarrassing about it. But again, Montana might be the very first state to say no TikTok in our state. All right, an update here on our texting tutor from Friday.
She has a friend who had a date, and she wanted to get to the date, but the date was pretty far, so she didn't want to get an Uber. So she called our listener, who called with our help, and asked if she would take her to the date instead. And so she said yes, and she went out of her way to go pick up a friend. And she was late to the date, so she was kind of pressuring her friend to speed so that they can get there on time. And in doing so, they were pulled over. So obviously she got a speeding ticket, of which she felt like her friend could at least offer to pay, if not all of it, half of it. And so we tried to get her to convince her that she was partially responsible and she should come up with at least half of the ticket. And the friend felt like, I don't have it. I don't feel like I owe you that. That was your decision to speed. That was not on me. And she didn't feel like she owed her anything. So we kind of had to leave it to where she felt like the friend was being dismissive of her and her needs. And so she decided that she wasn't even going to talk to her at all anymore. And she wasn't even going to bring up the speeding ticket anymore. And that's kind of where we left it.
I'm curious because I missed this because I was out sick with the norovirus. Did you feel like she should cough up money for the ticket?
The friend?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We felt like she should have offered. Like, she shouldn't have even had to ask the friend. The friend should have just, in her own right, said, you know what? This is partially on me. I should pay for this.
Who financially is doing better than our listener also, so it wasn't even a matter of money.
Yeah, but the listener was driving. You're a grown woman. You make your own decisions.
That's what I said.
Did you really?
I said that, but then I had to pretend that I was on board because everybody else saw it. Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Uh-huh. So here is the update from Erica. After our text exchange, I decided to call Annie to talk about the issue in more detail. I hope that maybe we could find some common ground, but unfortunately, she was adamant that she had no responsibility for the ticket. She even suggested that if I was so sure she should contribute, I should go to court and dispute the ticket, telling a judge the whole story to see if they would agree with me. That's really not what the issue is.
No.
She's not denying that she was speeding. She's saying I was, but the friend was like saying, basically, like putting so much pressure on her, she was just trying to get her there for the date. So honestly, I was pretty shocked by her reaction, is what she writes. I thought we could at least find a compromise or come to an understanding, but it seems like Annie is not willing to budge on the issue. I'm disappointed, to say the least. For now, I'm not sure how this is going to impact our friendship. It's a tough situation, and I'm trying to wrap my head around everything. I don't want to lose a friend over a speeding ticket, but it's hard not to feel hurt by her refusal to take any responsibility in it. At this point, I'm less concerned about the money and more concerned about how rude and selfish she's being. At the very least, I plan to step back and distance myself from her for a while. I've already canceled my participation in a weekend girls trip that we both were part of. I actually told our friend that this is, that is organizing it, that I had to back out due to money concerns. Hopefully, word will get back to Annie that I can't go because I'm broke. And maybe guilt will kick in. Don't count on that.
Nope.
That said, I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, I don't think Annie has any kind of conscience. Yeah. She might even be relieved that you're not showing up to the girls' weekend.
Probably. Because she'll have a good time without you in her face making her feel bad.
So if you were here, you would have said, look, you were the one that was putting the foot on the accelerator. You shouldn't ask her for anything.
Nobody forces you to do anything. You made a decision to speed. I mean, yeah, you had your friend in your ear, but you very easily could have said, no, shut up. This is my car. I'm going to drive the speed limit.
I did say that technically that's the case. But if you were the friend that got the favor, you wouldn't have offered out of like just feeling like you didn't have to come get me and I would.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm a decent person.
Annie is not.
Are you okay, Annie?
Hey, The Burt Show.
All right, I'm going to tell you guys right now, we're going to start off with warm and fuzzy, and then this thing's going to go 180.
It's like my Instagram stories this weekend.
Yeah, that's that, right?
Charity sticks.
First warm fuzzy time.
Yes.
Thank you very much to everybody that helped us do another Burt's Big Adventure reunion yesterday. These are like four times a year we get all of our Burt's Big Adventure families from every year. They want to come on to the reunion and hang out. These are our kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses, and we've been doing it for 20 years, and four times a year we get everybody together just to hang out and continue to create this feeling and sense of family. And we did it at Dave and Buster's yesterday, and 400 Burt's Big Adventure families showed up.
Yeah, wow. 400 family members, 82 families in attendance. And I want to tell this quick story. But before that, Gamoa sponsored this reunion at Dave and Buster's. So, I mean, from all of the cards the kids got to use to play unlimited games, the food, all of it courtesy of Gamoa. We can't thank you enough for that. But I'm there at the reunion. I'm going around. I'm seeing everybody and hugging everybody. And, like, of course, lamenting at how tall these kids are getting and how old they're making me feel. But at one point, I was in one section of Dave and Buster's there in Marietta, and I'm hanging out, and I'm looking around the room. I'm talking to Addie's mom and dad, and I'm looking around the room, and I'm like, everybody's wearing red shirts. Sure enough, our Burt's Big Adventure families from 2023, the moms have a group chat and a group text, and they hit each other up all day, every day, and they all coordinated for all of the 2023 families to wear their red shirts together. And I'm like, you guys are so cute.
That is cool.
I mean, that's really what these are all about. Yes. I mean, we're trying to create family and community here. So even after the trip, when these families are still talking to each other and organizing t-shirts to stand out, like, hey, this is our fam from 2023. Uh-huh. That's exactly what the design of these reunions is for.
Yeah, it was just so great to see. All Turf Lawn Care was there to present Burt's Big Adventure with a huge check, as well as Enterprise. They were there on hand to give us another huge check. And we got to thank our photographers, because you want to see all the smiles and the fun that we had at Dave and Buster's. Sarah Witherington from Sarah Esther Photography, Amanda Coker from Dash Photography, Adam Davila from Davila Photography. And we also had a videographer there, Jill from Masters of Visual Arts. And they capture all these beautiful moments. And it's just so great to get back together again.
Yeah, the pictures are amazing. And if you donated also, please, I mean, this is the payoff right here. Go take a look at the pictures at burtsbigadventure.org. All right, now we do a 180.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We go from warm and fuzzy to raunchy.
We go from wholesome to not wholesome.
Girls night out, man.
Ooh,
wow.
That was.
Wow, I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, and video.
Yeah, saw some of that too.
There were some things that could not be posted to the internet in our social media.
There are some things that I'm thrilled that cannot be posted to social media or the internet.
And that's why you have to attend.
So those for that don't know what it is.
All right. Q99.7 every single year has this epic girls' night out party. This year, we were at Center Stage. It was sponsored by Star starship, so everybody got themselves a little mini bullet as soon as they walked in the door. That is setting the tone for the evening, okay? Thank you to Georgia Hemp for being there, Chloe Wines. It was just the energy when you walked in this year. You could feel it as soon as you walked in that people were going to let loose and let loose hard.
I think we set the tone and told them for, you know, a couple of weeks, like, get ready for wild.
And so, you know, the night starts, Pink Pole Studios performed, and those women and the pole work they do is insane. And then we had a Livvy Ray lingerie fashion show, which everybody loved. DJ Mommy Chula and the Fly Girls.
Oh my gosh.
Holy crap. I mean, them flying through the air and doing their aerialist stunts. She's upside down, pushing buttons and being a DJ. Are you freaking kidding me? DJ Yvonne Monet is, I mean, she keeps the party going from beginning to end. And I told the crowd, the ladies, I'm like, isn't it so nice to be out there dancing and not feeling pounding into your back that you get to go out there and just be free and dance and have fun and not worry about some random guy grinding up on you?
Well, based on some of the pictures and video I saw, they weren't random guys, but I did see some of that going on, Kristen.
Grinding.
And,
and then major shout out to Hunkamania.
Shout out to them.
For not holding back when it came to their performance and their show. Abby. It was your first girls' night out. Your first lap dance.
I'm not sure that's what they called that. I'm not sure that was a lap. That was the other lap.
What did you think?
I was told to expect to leave my innocence at the door, and I can't find it anywhere. I left it at center stage. I was pulled up on stage for what they call the lap dance. I'm not sure that's what the kids are calling it these days. They came up. A man in a nice military uniform started grabbing my legs and whispering sweet nothings in my ears. And then all of a sudden he was telling me to, can I get this graphic at 7:50?
Sure.
He told me to stand up and put my hands on the back of the chair. And then all of a sudden I got a lap dance in a different way.
Okay. It was salute. Full salute.
Full salute. And I'm not sure. I was under the impression that I was going to be up there for a hot second. I think I was doing such a bad job at whatever they wanted me to do that they were like, get this girl off the stage. I didn't last 3 minutes.
How do you mess up standing there with your hands on a chair?
Ask Hunkamania, because they grab my butt and they're like, get off, girl. You are.
Now, Cassie is the MVP, because we were on one side of the stage and we were watching this bride, bachelorette, just get tossed like a rag doll. Cassie ran over to the other side of the stage because that's where Abby was getting her lap dance.
Yeah, and I didn't want to go across the stage because my beauty would obviously distract everyone from the lap dances. So I ran down the side of the stage, back through the underground tunnels around in heels, and then back up the equipment ramp to get Abby, I think the word I would use was pounded, is what I caught on video. And I did not post it because I did take video. And I watched that and I was like, I wouldn't want this of me on the internet. It was a fun night, but I wouldn't want this floating around.
Yeah. Now you have some blackmail against me.
Every single year, there is one moment that stands out above the rest. One year was the D in the shoe. The other year was the woman that got her head pretty much shaved and her fiance showed up, livid at everybody, and wanted to fight people.
That's right.
Yeah.
This year, it's the slip and slide.
Oh, no.
Q99.7 posted a video of our reactions.
Yes. We're not posting video of the slip and slide. However, I showed Bert and I showed Mo video of the slip and slide.
I feel like there was a male stripper convention somewhere, and they were all brainstorming new ways to shock and new ways to take their stripping to the next level, and this slip and slide idea occurred.
Yes.
And to see it on video was shocking. Was utterly shocking.
I'm pretty sure I had a nightmare. That video playing in my head.
So Hunkamania exceeded every expectation. Wow. They took it all off. And we have to thank Q99.7 and our promotions department, because Dallas and her crew absolutely crushed it. It was an epic night. It was a packed house, so many smiles, so many screams, so many memories. It was one for the books.
In watching the slip and slide video, I will tell you this, that today I'm altering my workout routine and doing glutes today.
You should. There was a lot of butt cheek action going on.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And mine don't look like that.
No, sir.
And I need to do a little research on maybe gravity on how the socks stayed on.
I know. I don't know. I didn't get close enough to find out.
I don't have answers.
I don't know if it's glue, what they're using, but it defied gravity.
I don't know if glue is what the kids are calling it these days.
I don't know. It's the Burt Show. Hey,
the Burt Show.